item number one, communications from other commissions, SHPO or the general public.
We had a communication from the State Historic Preservation Office, a National Register nomination for the Tuning House, and the author of that nomination is here, and I've encouraged her to just say a few words to you about that very well-written nomination.
Lindsay Crick wrote the Tuning House nomination. Some of you might be familiar with this. Came for a local listing, but did not follow through with that due to the owner's wishes. So I pursued further research to see if it was eligible for the state or national register, and was happy to hear that the SHPO felt that it was eligible for the national register, not just the state. It was a kind of challenging one to research because there were no books on this. It was all from newspaper articles. The G Museum that has the GE archives is not very helpful. After no response. So I'm excited about this nomination and hope all goes well next month at the SHPO hearing.
Dennis Brown, president of the Lawrence Preservation Alliance. I've got to come up here and brag about Lindsay a little bit because she's one arm. She's the vice president of the Lawrence Preservation Alliance. She also serves on the Heritage Conservation Council for the county and does really good work there. And this was a really great outcome to just go ahead and jump this property to the state and hopefully national register nomination. It took a long time for that to happen, but you know, it's really a pretty fascinating story when you read her nomination. We're becoming, the more we learn about Professor Beal, very proud that he was here in Lawrence and KU. Then the fact that it's the all-electric house, and the fact that it's a Lawrence modern, but it was built in 36. So the Lawrence modern, it really predates the movement here in Lawrence, and it's a fascinating story in that regard too. So we're really excited to get that property before the Kansas State Sites Board of Review.
Good luck.
This is typically the Historic Resources Commission votes to send a letter of support to the Sites Board of Review for the nomination.
So, do we do vote on?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion or potential motion?
I make a motion that we direct staff to draft a letter in support of nominating the Tuning House to the National State Register.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that motion passes. Well, good luck. Hope that goes through. Okay. Disclosure of ex parte communications from commissioners. None. Declaration of abstentions.
I'm going to abstain from item number 2A. The action summary.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm abstaining from item 5 and item 7A. Those projects from our office.
Okay. Any other? None. Okay, so we will go to committee reports. Anything from the ARC?
The ARC met for Bonbon 804 Pennsylvania Street and came to some resolutions with the applicant, and those will be on your November HRC meeting. That project will come back to you. Also for a project that you referred to the ARC for the addition of a roof over on Pennsylvania Street, or Delaware Street, and resolution was on that project as well, and that will also be back on the November meeting. And then there was resolution on 945 Kentucky Street, and that should be back on the November agenda as well.
Did you say there was a resolution on Delaware Street?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move to the consent agenda. We do have the September action summary. Anybody want to discuss? Or I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the September action summary as presented.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And note the abstention. Administrative approvals, we have 18. Does anybody want to discuss one of those specifically? See anything, or just we can entertain a motion on that one as well?
Move that we approve the administrative approvals.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes. Now we'll do general public comment. This is not for a specific item on the agenda. If anybody would like to do general public comment, now would be your time. Please just state your name for the record.
So the LPA annual meeting is rescheduled. We really wanted to have it at 904 Rhode Island. We tried on two consecutive Sundays, and we knew even on a good day with 9th Street closed, it would be a challenge to get our people in and out of there safely and throw in all the rain. We thought, no way, we'll try for next week, and the next week we had rain and cold. So we're scheduled for November 4th, that's a Sunday, rain or shine, in the basement of St. Luke AME, which is a space familiar to us. And so there's lights there and heat, because those are all turned off at 9:04. And you know what will happen. November 4th will be a beautiful day. And so after a short business meeting and some socializing, if that is the case, we'll head over to 904 Rhode Island and open it up and walk anybody through who wants to do that. So mark your calendars for real feast this time. We'll do it on November the 4th.
Good what time?
1:30.
Thank you.
Thanks, KT.
Any other public comments? Okay. All right. With that, we'll move to item number 4, Scheduling Delay to Ohio.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Catherine Reed, one of the planners, and I'm here to present item number 4, which is located at 708 Ohio Street. And this is before you for our state law review. This will show you the general location. As you can see, it is located right in the middle of the Old West Forest Historic District. The property there is outlined in teal. And it is also a contributing structure to that district. And this shows you just the aerial view of the property. We're going to be talking about an addition to the structure that would be located in back, approximately where my arrow is now. This is an image of the street view of the front elevation, just to familiarize yourself with the structure. And this is kind of a side view, giving you kind of an overall idea of the mass of the structure. This is the rear elevation. This is where the addition is proposed to be located. It will be approximately about where that deck is located currently, coming off that back elevation. And so the applicant is requesting a one-story, approximately 405 square foot addition located at the rear of this structure. Here's the site plan as submitted. As you can see, as part of state law review, the standards that will apply to this project are 2, 9, and 10. 2 being, we want to make sure we're preserving historical material that would be on the existing structure when we're adding an addition. And then 9 and 10 are the standards that are used to restore structures. identified idea of where the deck that was also part of this project will be located here. And it's not a large high deck, it's a two-tier ground level. So it's not exactly what you're about this. So, as part of standard two, where we're trying to minimize any loss of historic material, they really are trying to attach to the structure in the least impactful way possible. They've recessed both elevations so that it is set back from the existing structure. This wall here, which abuts the hallway to the new addition and the laundry room, there will be a cased opening where it enters or attaches to that structure to maintain as much of that historic material as possible. And then the exterior material that is there will remain. Part of standards 9 and 10, when we're adding new additions to structures, we want to make sure that we are considering the mass, the proportion, distinguishing it from the new or the existing structure, and yet respecting that historic material. And they are proposed, as I said, stepping back on both sides of the elevations here. So it really is creating that high pendant transition into the new smaller subordinate positions. This is an elevation at the rear showing you how it is subordinate in nature. The materials will be matching what is currently there. The hitch roof is in character with similar structures in the district. This is the side. Window patterns are also traditional to this style of architecture and to the district. And this is the elevation showing the tier of deck that will be adjacent and how it opens up into that deck. So staff is recommending that in accordance with the Secretary of Interior standards and the standards of evaluation that the Commission approve the proposed project and find that the proposed project does not damage or destroy any historic property including the National Register of Historic Places. And as part of that recommendation, staff would also recommend that the Commission direct staff to administratively review any minor alterations that may come out of the building permit and then any revisions that cannot be administratively reviewed before it's back to you. If you have any kind of questions,
any questions at this time? Ms. Tyler, thank you. The applicants here would like to address?
Dan Arbrick, I'm representing the owners. I'm glad to answer any questions you have.
Anybody have any questions? Not this time. All right, thank you. All right. With that, we'll do public comment on this item. Someone would like to address on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for discussion. Is there any concern about the identical matching of the standard that's talking about the differentiating? Is that, we've gone around and around about that before. But
the siding is different, right?
The siding would match. And I think when you're talking about differentiating, it's not only materials, but it's also in the structural form. And because they're being very cognizant of creating that height and setting it back, and maintaining, so for instance, that full addition could still be removed and you would have the existing structure able to be maintained without very much impact to that. I think that also distinguishes, and so because they've been respectful of those design standards, I think in this case that it would still meet the standard.
Okay. And I agree with my words there. It's almost an ideal project. Anybody?
Is there any issues with the, so looks like the deck's going to go right up to the existing shed.
That might be a question for
the shed is not a permanent structure.
Oh, I know.
I don't know what the answer to that is. That's the way they decided they want to configure. The shed might be moved at some point in time. So.
I will say to the staff to not review the shed as part of
it. I didn't know the proximity if it needed to be new space there for any reason.
It would still have to, meet the building code standards. If there was any ductwork issue with the proximity to the shed, I think that would be something that would be brought up when they submitted the building permit.
That's a pretty large, so I don't expect the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just being sure. Thank you, Dan.
I will go ahead and make a move that we approve the proposed project, finding that it did not damage or destroy any historical property included in the National Register of Trusts. And do I do a separate motion for the administrative review?
You can put them together.
Okay, I'll also add to that motion that staff will review administratively any minor alterations and any other revisions or modifications will come back to the HRC.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, that passes.
All right, thank you.
We'll move to item 5. 815 in Vermont.
Good evening, Commissioner Sandra Dykes, Homeland Historic Resources Administrator. This is DR-18-0054. Getting Commissioner Herman time to get out of the room. 815 Vermont Street, it's new construction. It's a certificate of appropriateness review and also a downtown design guidelines review. Currently, the property is vacant. It's a vacant lot. This slide shows the property location. Here, circled in red, the two vacant lots. You see the three locally listed properties that are properties which the subject property is in the environment zone. It's directly associated or adjacent to the Lucy House Taylor house, which the staff report focuses on that environment's reviews and because of the proximity. This is the Lucy House Taylor house, looking at the primary elevation. This shows an overall view of the vacant lot. These are both lots. This is a view of the proposed structure will come straight up to the wall that you see here on the left of the screen. And then this gives you an idea right here, around this area right here will be the property line, and so 5 feet off of that will be the new structure location. Wanted to have fun with my historic photographs. These are included in your staff report. There's some discussion in the staff report about previous structures on the site. The Lawrence Hotel is shown here. And if you can see on the right of the photograph, you'll see the chimney of the Lucy House Taylor House right here. And that can kind of give you an idea of the height of the structure that was located here previously. There's a photograph more recently, and this was supplied by the applicant with a previous nomination or a previous project, I should say. This is the existing proposed project. It does take up both lots. The blue highlighted area on the screen is that 5 foot setback that will serve as a sidewalk, and then there will also be a fire escape toward the west. You can tell there will be some storefront setbacks along the storefront side on the west, I'm sorry, on the east elevation. The interior spaces are to be used as commercial spaces. This is showing the second level. If you'll notice, the red line is the property line, and sorry, this is the third level. This is the
unit, the residential unit above, and this shows you the setback from the that northern elevation that's adjacent to the Lucy House Taylor House, and how far the residential unit is set back. This is showing that fourth level, or that what staff report calls more of a penthouse rooftop addition, showing how it's set back both from that northern property line and our building line, and then also set back from that main eastern elevation of the structure. This is the main elevation of the structure, Lucy House Taylor House, is shown on the right of the screen. It has the components of the downtown design guidelines that are specific in your staff report, went through one by one item. You'll notice there's a three-part storefront system for the storefront areas of the property. There are some unique things to the project. The balconies that project over the sidewalk is something that we don't typically see downtown, although we do have a couple examples of that, both existing and a couple of historic, from historic photos. You'll also notice on the third floor, which is the residential unit, there's a discussion in your staff report about siding or building material for the third floor and then the rooftop penthouse. This is the area that the discussion is about. The applicant did come in and give some additional information to staff. I believe they'll discuss that with you as well. It's no longer the wood shiplap siding that was discussed earlier, but it's more of a rain screen now, and they'll give you some more information on that product. The building materials are consistent with the downtown design guidelines. The brick material, there's also a stone material that faces on the main elevation. The windows are 2/1 aluminum clad aluminum windows, and all of this meets the downtown design guidelines and is appropriate for the environments of the Lucy House Taylor House. It's a little bit of a unique situation with this property. I think I mentioned it several times in the staff report, because the Lucy House Taylor is really the anomaly left in this area of the downtown historic district and the overlay district, because as the area developed the residential structures, even as early as you saw the Lawrence Hotel, the area developed more commercially, and so the Lucy House Taylor was, like I said, the anomaly. It wasn't the standard, and so when you're looking at new development or redevelopment of the area, it tends to make more sense for it to be that commercial type of development that's in relationship to the rest of the downtown area. This is just a close-up view showing you some of those building materials and some of the detailing. This is showing you the elevation that will face the Lucy House Taylor House. You'll see that the stone from the main elevation wraps around about 8 feet around the side, and then it changes to an EPIS material, or stucco material, sorry. So that wrapping around gives you those good lines of sight from the public right-of-way to a solid building material. This, again, is that rain screen material that was discussed in your staff report. You can see a little bit more of that rooftop penthouse that's discussed in the staff report. Looking at the rear elevation, a little bit of change in materials on this elevation. It is facing the alley, and here is the garage door opening that's also mentioned in your staff report. That's showing that rear elevation in respect to the Lucy House Taylor House, and that gives you an idea of the height from the alley. This is showing the elevation that will be up against the Vermont Street Station sign. So you'll see here again that you have that stucco material with the stone wrapping around for the first portion of that. So staff is recommending both for the Certificate of Appropriateness and the Downtown Design Guidelines that the project be referred to the Architectural Review Committee to to determine the compatible material for the third story and rooftop penthouse of the proposed structure. Staff is also recommending that if the commission approves the project, that the commission direct staff to administratively review any minor alterations to the project and the final exterior building materials, and that includes the color palette for the materials, and then any other revisions or modifications to the project would be forwarded to the Historic Resources Commission for review. And with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions you may have.
Any questions at this point? Not at this point? Thank you. We'll hear from the applicant.
Good evening, my name is Bob Shump, and I am the owner of the property, and the project developer, my wife and myself. Project zoning is Vermont Place. Sam Hurley is a project architect, and obviously he has to withdraw from the hearing, so he's pulling his heels outside there some more. And to go over some of the technical aspects of the rain screen system, I've asked Lance Adams architect, to come in and explain that. And so, when I get to that point, I'll ask to keep the board and being able to this with you. I was last here for the approval of this project on September 17th, 2015. I tried to stay away, but I wasn't able to market the condominium floors, the two floors of condominiums, in a fashion that would put the project before, so they didn't need. So the project changed to this, the change to this project as originally submitted and approved on in 2015 is that we lost two floors, 10 condo units. We reduced the footprint a little bit because we allowed for a 5-foot setback on the north wall all the way to the alley, less where the fire escape comes down to the outdoor metal staircase. I think that helps open up the space a little bit better for the Lucy Hubs Chamber of House. We greatly reduced the overall mass of the project, and I think it looks a lot better, and it feels better when you look at the relationship to that Lucy Hubs Chamber of House and the elevation. The other thing that's changed, these are all positive things for that existing historic structure. The other thing to note is that we're not going to have to excavate for underground parking, and I was worried about that. I didn't explain that to you, of course, too much last time I was here, but the Lucy Hobbs Taylor House is not in very good shape. I'm over there a lot, and it's got a lot of fairly loose bricks and things like that. It really needs a lot of work done on it. So I was fearful of the fact to get in there and start rumbling around with some big heavy equipment that see bricks falling off of some of the walls, and that would have been pretty unknown from like streets politics here in Morris. Anyway, so most of the rest of the project is pretty much the same. First floor commercial, second floor office, third floor is living unit, and fourth floor is a small 350 square foot or so additional sunroom. The material, so the facade is pretty much the same as was approved before. The materials on the first floor and second floor are the same, and some on the third floor, but the only change to the system that was previously approved is the rain screen system, which is made of recycled lumber or new lumber, depending on what we can get. There's a place in here that mills this lumber, and it's put on with a clip. I don't know what Lance explained that to you. One of the other objects of this project is we want to try and build it to a LEED certification, and of course, if you use recycled materials, that helps you. If you use materials that are produced within 500 miles, that's some point value as well. So the rain screen also is an energy efficient method of building an exterior wall. With Adam, I'll let Lance come forward, Lance Adams, and he'll go over the screen system with you and explain it. Any questions for me so far?
Questions?
When it's over, you can ask me too.
Will do, thank you.
I won't go away.
Good evening, Lance Adams. Adams Architects. I'm here today to represent Kirkland & Associates. So through the report, there were different discussions on shiplap siding and unpainted siding, as was discussed. The rain screen system that Woodhaven is out of Perry, Kansas, so it's great to use a local supplier for this. It does use a shiplap design in its rain screen approach. So what we're going to look at first is shiplap on commercial projects around you now. And that's what you're seeing here. This is up on 6th Street, 6th and Mark Russo. Has a smoothie came in. Just went up maybe 6 months ago. Just a little bit in front of the 6th Street Walmart storefront. So that's a new build, and that is actually a Woodhaven project of theirs. And with their material. Let's see if I can flip through this. The next couple of examples you can see are kind of around this area in Kansas that Woodhaven has done, and they just kind of provided these as different areas of rain screen and using the different wood materials that they use. So, this is one up in Joplin, Missouri, or actually down in Joplin, Missouri. These are some scattered ones. South Carolina is one that they've done. Kissimmee, Missouri, some Dairy Farmers of America, one in this corner. And the Topkoff, I looked at this and said, Shane, are you sure? He said, yeah, if you look, it's the dark brown up here, is also, which brings in kind of the color palette that we can talk about later on some of the materials. So, yeah, it's arranged from the darkness here and the dark up here. This is another one. This is a thermally treated one for store. This is not local, but just so you kind of see, there are different, they have different techniques for treating the wood, all of which receive a clear coat of sorts. So it is not just a raw piece of wood up there. They all get clear coats. Some of the products that you're going to see around downtown have a 3-year reapply product on it. Woodhaven has moved to a newer product that stretches out as far as 7 years for recoating. So, and the reason behind this clear coat is to maintain those colors of the wood instead of letting it go to silver. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with your deck, at your wooden deck at your house or something like that, where it starts to silver out or wooden fence. That's what these coatings avoid for these as we go through. Also, the thermally treated wood removes that chance altogether. So that's some different approaches. The and this slide just talks a little bit about the thermally treated wood, and what they do is they basically cook it at 400 degrees at different humidities, testing it, and it basically takes out most of the water and all the fungal and others, all sorts of stuff that they basically bake out of this thing, and kind of changes the wood into a harder substance, but still wood. And this is a really good photo as well. It shows the use of their clips. The clips go into the grooves between the boards, so you don't actually have an exposed fastener. So it's a really great looking product at the end. This is a diagram that once again comes from Woodhaven, kind of demonstrating how a rain screen is composed using their material. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with the construction of a rain screen or what its real purpose is. The rain screen itself, what it does, what you see is they have your typical backing, which would either be like plywood, or if you go to like a dense glass material or something like that for a backing, you see on all these buildings around town. And then it gets a waterproof material or waterproof barrier that goes on it, And that's something more than just a Tyvek backing. It's actually waterproof itself. And that's what provides the waterproof to the building, and not the siding itself, which you typically see. It's layers of things like on typical construction, they have a Tyvek and then material on top of it. That all works together to keep moisture as far away from the inside as possible. The moisture still transfers between everything on standard construction. The rain screen itself offers this airspace, which is between, you see these battens that are going up and down? There's an airspace in between that and the siding. And that allows for the moisture, if it hits the siding, will transfer through, and then hits an airspace and comes back down. It also dries much quicker because the airspace will still allow for the air to come up and through it. So with that going on, it keeps the material up stable than what you typically see for a standard shiplap siding, where it may be warping things because this dries very quickly. It's about 40 to 50% quicker on drying because it's getting air on that side, so it's not being held up against something you do that all the time. So that's part of the effect this has. This also has the effect, and which Bob talked a little bit about, but historically, you guys may be aware of, a lot of people talk about old windows and the old single-pane windows. When you put a storm window on front of that, what the R value is of that, and how much better that is than a two-pane piece of glass, you're getting a similar approach here. That air space itself creates an R barrier for you, which is better, and also you're limiting the amount of surface area that's touching, and that's what the rain screen does as well. So you don't have as many contact points for heat to transfer through this siding material into the building. It's the airspace once again is dissipated. So there's multiple energy things that this helps. And it's been a technique that was around many, many years ago that kind of went away and is now coming back with all of the green building units. So it's a great system. I'm glad you're looking at it for it. So that's kind of in a nutshell how that kind of works. This is some more Woodhaven details. This is showing the clip that I talked about. That's a very dark line you're seeing between the joints of the boards. And this is indicating that they have two different styles that they can provide. When they do the boards, they can do a tight gap between the boards and pull it all together. Or they can go where it has a little bit of a reveal. And that's kind of a choice on materials on that, on how to do it. And I think that would be a piece that could probably be discussed in as that minor one that you talked about for Lynn basically coming out and looking at one minor construction on the project to decide if we want to read really as a board or multiple boards, we don't really have to give a siding approach or not. But you can see this has the air gap in it and kind of how it goes together. Any questions early on rain screens on 5 minute on how it works?
How are you going to address the drainage?
The drainage behind it?
Yeah, where's the water going to go?
Basically, it just runs out, so this will run out on the roof. The roofing material itself will wrap up underneath this.
I don't see any gutters, so I was just kind of...
Right. No, that's pretty much how it works. It's just an open hole gap at the bottom. The windows themselves are usually, they'll put like, they call it a wood block, but you put a 2x on the outside of the sheathing to stick that window out farther, and then it's flashed around that to make sure any water that hits it drains out around it. So the windows themselves are set out as well. So you're not creating that shadow box that is set way far back into it. So it still reads as, solid material. This is one project that you may be aware of. It's down in 1040 Vermont. This is a Woodhaven project that was installed sometime. I used to work in the building. I can't remember when. But 2010 is obviously when it got voted on. I know they stumbled around for a while trying to decide and do costs on it. So. I believe it went up in 2013, maybe 2012. But yeah, this is a range screen that's just down the street in similar material. This is also, this building also is LEED certified. What's unique about this one is it was kind of a one-time deal. They got reclaimed cedar for the range screen, and that was Woodhaven was able to get some cedar beams and cut them down into the siding. And that's really the kind of direction that this project, 815 Vermont, is hoping to go as well, is to see what reframe products are available at the time of construction to really make that decision on what species of wood it is, and go from there. It's really about using the materials that are available at that time. So, and this, Lynn kind of went through most of these already. This is kind of showing the different spots that have this ring screen. It's essentially the residential area. And another aspect why the range screen material was looked at on these portions rather than the brick or limestone is also construction length. Lynn did a great job and pointed out how where the second floor roof line was compared to the third floor walls and everything set back in. That all comes at an extreme cost structurally. And with changing the material, the rain screen, the wood, is going to be lighter to hold up than a stone or a brick. And all that impacts structurally and then transfers all the way down to the foundations of the building. So if you go to a brick or something like that, you're looking at larger beams, larger columns, larger footings, all those things. So that's another reason, but that's what helps them do the step back approach on buildings, kind of keeping that structure light. So that was another key element for Herman and Associates for picking that material and wanting to take it such a way. I want to see this back again, kind of showing those different areas. I really love this action isometrics and its readings because when you look at this thing at flat elevation, that's right in your face. It's not really, and some of these perspectives that are given, I think they would be even more apparent on how not visible some of this is if it was done in a true, 5'6" high level looking at it. A lot of these are, I think in studio we used to call them the worm look, where you're down on the sidewalk and you're wondering how long you see the project. It's part of my perspective. But I really do think emphasizes how the secondary material approach to the building, which is an approach you see all the downtown, of where you look and you see the nice brick front and you kind of turn the corner and look at the two-story building at the site and you're like, well, it's brick for 2 feet and then it's fieldstone, rubble stone piled up to make the actual walls. So it's a similar point to the secondary material to give you that same kind of look, which separates this slightly then from what we would get at 1040. So once again, just kind of some elevations, you start seeing, as they had talked about earlier, the staircase coming down the side on the 5 foot setback. So currently, when we talked about how they want to do LEED, these are kind of some of the materials that Woodhaven stocks. Not all of these would be LEED certified or certifiable because they come from a greater distance than 500 miles. But this kind of gives you kind of the feeling of the different materials. That's not going to be LEED certified. They do have some reclaimed material currently, but like I said, that's always kind of changing depending on what reclaimed wood becomes available at the time. So the real hope is that you as a group can say, we support the range screen, we think the wood material is great on there. We would like for when it comes under construction to really have that final kind of what the actual color is, because at that point we'll know that hey, we can get we can get, you know, the ash or the half buried pine or white oak, something over there, or something reclaimed even that might even be way cooler than all of that. So it would come out of something locally. So that's kind of the direction that we'd like to see on the material. And I think the push towards going to the ARC is really just driven about this green screen and that material. And if you guys are good with the concept, I think we can just avoid the ARC portion of that and go back to Lynn's part of looking at it internally after the building permits out, you know, what material is really held. So I don't know if you want to discuss that with me a little bit or let me know what your feelings are on looking at it that way.
Are there color options? So if you get, you know, a certain brand, something is available.
Right, and that's, I think that's a great point. I think to help us, because we're not going to know exactly what materials are available that way, but I think as a group, you can provide some guidance on that decision of, hey, we'd really like to see it in a reddish brown hue compared to a brown tan hue compared to a yellow white hue. So that would kind of drive us toward what a great color that you would see. Obviously, we've got both tans and reds on the building now with the limestone be more, of course, the tan and white, and then the red brick is called out as well. Which I think they've done a great job of really isolating those colors. This one is just the range tree material is, we can pick some of the stock stuff right now, but we don't want to limit our ability to really go after that lead certification, really use something reclaimed, which I think is a really goal for the month's project.
When we had our follow-up meeting with Lynn on Monday, Christmas this week, that was, of course, her concern is what is the color going to be, and how do we know it's going to be what we all think it should be? And every, you know, color is kind of a very subjective concept, let's say. And first of all, I'm going to live there, so I want it to look nice. We're putting a lot of money into the facade of this building, and I really want it to have a nice contrast that works with all the different colors and all the different materials in there. I like the wood because it softens that up a little bit on that third floor. We've got a pretty large facade of hard materials with the stone and the brick, and then as we go back a little bit, we can soften that up with the wood. And then for all the other reasons that the rain screen is a very functional, useful type of wall, we would like to, of course, move forward with that. So, one of the things that, as Lance just said, at the time, because it's my understanding the old stock of these materials, you have to wait in line and whatever comes up is what they have. But at the time, we could work with staff to grant approval for the color that it's going to be based on what's available. Would be very fine with that. But also, just to rest assured that I'm going to pull up the book. You know, I'm going to pull up the book.
Well, I guess, so let's say it's available, you know, comes up, it's lead certified, and let's say it's a very, I'm not saying, but just a very pale, yellowish color. And we as a commission say, ah, that's, you know, we're thinking more kind of a, like you were saying, maybe a reddish tone or something like that. Can you stain it? How does that, I mean, how would you be able to change the color then? If that's, because if you're looking at what's available, you might not have what's available to what we would decide.
Right, and I think with your kind of guidance tonight, if you say, hey, we think that, you know, the red-brown hue area is the way you want to go, that lets us talk to Woodhaven now, or as we get closer to construction, so they can start looking for, hey, we need X amount of square feet, a board length feet for this general hue color, and they go, hey, yeah, we've got the opportunity to purchase, you know, these reclaimed beams out of this whatever. to do that sort of thing. And so, with your guidance, then we can guide Woodhaven to get the right material. That's kind of the direction I see.
Okay. Any other questions at this point? Don't take any at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Back one thing.
Sure.
The product of I like that I think would probably look good would be the slide with the Lululemon variation of wood colors and some browns and golds. This just looks like it has a rich texture to me. That
was
That catches a lot of different colors. I think it has a nice world feeling to it. So, but there again, it's what's going to be available. But if you want to know what's in my mind's eye, that's what I'm thinking would look something like it would look pretty good on this design. But there again, it goes back to the color of brick we end up with, too. I mean, for this picture, this one here, shows a darker red, maybe iron spot or something brick, and then it might vary from that a little bit if it influences the color of what wood you want. So it almost feels like she gets the structure going along and then see what maybe he's going to put test. It's kind of like picking on a paint at the end, not paint.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay. Public comment on this side. Public comments? None. All right, so we'll bring that back to the commission for discussion. I don't believe we've ever, I could be wrong, approved something like that where you just don't know how that would work.
Oh, you're trying procedurally, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, with that.
Well, we give staff authority to make minor decisions on. Just did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right. So it'd be something similar to that with a little more guidance.
So then if it came back and it was a major change from what we discussed.
Or if she wasn't comfortable with it, then she'd bring it back here.
And that would be
that. I think that'd be appropriate in this case for sure.
Okay.
In addition to the ship lab, on that self elevation, there is a significant lack of penetration. I would think that those offices on the second floor would like some windows.
Yeah. Great question on the windows. And I had this similar thoughts as Stan and Bob introduced me to the project. Do you have the floor plans?
Yeah, that's what I just looked at. I was like, oh,
those
offices would probably like
that. Do you see rectangles dashed in on your floor plan? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The 2x4 and 4x4 rectangles. This roof has skylights all over it from that second floor. So there's lots of daylight.
It's like it's 1.6, right?
Are you looking at the roof plan?
If you look at third floor, the building, which will show second floor underlaid underneath it, you'll start seeing, or even at the roof plan, should show dashed in rectangles.
It's turned off on our third story.
Okay, I'm sorry, it was handprint. So there's windows here, there's windows here, windows here.
Those are all sky.
I'm sorry, this is this is Ramon Street Station here.
So yeah, they're up on the screen now. If you look at the screen,
oh,
you can see the big 4x4 rectangles and 2x4 rectangles that are dashed lines on this plan, right in the middle of all those offices. Those are all skylights.
Well, okay.
So, which is a great. One of the comments Bob made to me was he said he wouldn't believe how effective that is on just renting office space to have that.
Yeah, I do get that. I'm just thinking from a fenestration, like a secondary facade,
right.
Front of you.
You can't build within 5 feet of an adjacent wall. You can't have a window, so we'd have to set back the building 5 feet for a fire code.
Got it.
Right. I mean, I put windows in. I put windows in there in a moment if I could, but
the
wind chip.
Yeah. And his offices are very small now.
Yeah.
So there are multiple issues that come on downtown when we start filling in the second floors, and there are those windows that are looking over roofs, and we probably maintain that short window in there
right.
and fire rated at the same time.
On the front facade, that centerpiece, that stucco.
That should be.
Or
that is all stone.
Stone.
That is a limestone.
Yeah.
And then trying to play in the downtown design guideline rules of creating that same pattern of 20 to 25.
Has there been discussion of making it brick and delineating those sections with a facade pattern?
No, there's not. But recall that this is exactly the same facade that you approved 2 years ago with the stone and brick. The only thing different is the third and fourth floor went away and there's a little fourth floor. So the stone and brick pattern is exactly as we presented it before. Except for the 5 feet, we reduced the back of the north side bar. So it's.
I'm just asking the question.
I believe that's correct.
I think it is. What was your question right then?
So, would it. From the ARC meetings that we've had recently, the introduction of materials, would it be better to have that centerpiece continue to be brick but delineate just using a brick pattern that helps your eye break up the mass? So it would be more like the original, more of like a Miller's block. This would be so differentiated or divided.
Well, I think this was to relate to that breaking up the overall mass of the structure and looking at some of those widths. The 25-foot pattern.
Right.
And that's certainly a discussion that you can have.
Yeah, to me, it just seems more appropriate to go brick and use something else to create that delineation.
Why?
Yeah, it's why.
Well, when you think of, when I say block, think of like Miller's block, like the picture, the original picture. You know, you kind of have a solid rectangle, right? Mm-hmm. I just think it would be more in character to have that tripartite be more cohesive.
Of course, that original structure was smaller.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I just, it's a discussion, right? Because I'm just bringing this up.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that, but,
yeah.
You know. Not an architect.
Yeah. I'm not too concerned. I see what you're saying. I'm not a computer.
Yeah. I would say we're not trying to mimic either, but it just seems more to get more that kind of read to it. That center piece that's
it does look like visually that just kind of
we're not evaluating its aesthetics, we're evaluating its how does it meet the guidelines, right?
It meets the guidelines as far as the computer system.
I'm just wondering if that's something else the ARC should consider, or if that's something that.
I don't personally think we have to send it to the ARC. From what I've seen.
Yeah.
Going back to the siding issue, so we were shown that down there by Cat Bed, it's a trailer
building.
Yeah. So it does exist, I guess, in some areas. The code does say that we will give consideration.
for additional materials. I'm having issues with this.
I'm going to try this one.
Yeah, I'll screw up.
We talked about the downtown guidelines here.
Right, okay, yes. It does say that we would give consideration to additional. There is examples of it downtown. I don't know. Again, I'm not a trainer. I think visually it would look okay. And it is set back. And so I think you make a good point. When you're going to be walking along there, I mean, it's not going to be something that really jumps out at you unless you're standing on that roof. And I'm quite frankly generally okay with the idea of doing that. They're just saying, you know, as far as the color scheme goes, do it administratively. If something comes back very different, then it comes back to us. But I think that would make some sense in with what you're trying to do as far as the wood selection, what's available. And what's the feeling of the discussion on that?
I guess what, you know, basically, I mean, there's no difference between the shiplap and what's being presented here. They're the same, conceptually, as far as the guidelines go, right? Still unpainted wood. So that's all whether it's rain screen or not rain screen or LEED certified or not LEED certified, that's not part of our evaluation. Mm-hmm. Our evaluation is based on, does it meet the guidelines based on materials? And this material, according to the staff report, is the issue. Mm-hmm. So we would be going against the staff report.
I mean, we would.
If we didn't send it to ARC. Mm-hmm. We're missing two of our architects. One would probably have to abstain anyway. Mm-hmm. I like the way it looks. I don't have any problem with it. Just, you know, aesthetically speaking, I'm just trying to follow procedures and precedent.
Right.
So we've got the trainer building that I don't know if the same standards, I might have done the commission at the time, I can't remember, in 2010, maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but is that in the conservation overlay district? And is it in the environs of locally listed properties?
So there is precedent for the
And the
concept. Also, Commissioner, the slide didn't show up, but there's two sides that have the rain screen on the trainer building. It's the south side and the east side. Mm-hmm. There's on the east side, there's 769 square feet for that material. And on the south side, there's 480 square feet for a total of a little bit, wrap around the point. Total of 1,268 square feet of rain screen around that building. And it is adjacent to or within a stone's throw of the Watkins Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, and I remember when we originally discussed the back in 2015, slightly sized. It's just much better. I think it lets the house breathe a little. And I think the guidelines do say we can consider additional materials for the precedent, whether that matters or not. Lynn, do you remember, was that a discussion with this? Was that the rain screening on the trainer?
We actually went back and looked at the minutes, and the main discussion item for that project was the door not facing Vermont Street, and the material selection was not a discussion with that project.
I guess for discussion purposes, if we were to go that way, I believe. Can you flip it back to what you said your preference was in the color?
Let's see, where did you? have his, did you have some blue number or the other one?
Well, there's two different. They had the slide with the two different colors.
Right, and so I was trying to find that. That was kind of separate PowerPoint. I would have
been the same.
Yeah,
it was in there.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, so there's not much of
it. Putting your source in. There it is.
I would just say, you know, working with ARC, it's really difficult to choose colors unless you have the entire color palette, including the brick and the stone. It's really hard to choose one material without, usually with the ARC, they have a full materials board. So one of the things you look at is how the materials work together. So that's something to consider.
Well, not knowing until it's, you know, within a week in the fall, it's difficult. So I think that's where it kind of goes to the administrator to make that call, whether it's something that's going to work or not. And if it's not, then you come back to us.
But it would be good enough, I guess, guidance for that. So when that does happen, she'll know, okay, well, this is what we got, this is what we did.
So variable based on species and everything else that I trust the administrator's judgment and the applicant's judgment that they're going to present something that's likely going to work.
And at that time, it was the exact shade of the room.
So, as I understand what you're talking, is that at the time of the purchase of the lumber, get with the administrator and say, does this look like something that'll work? And if she says yes, we're fine. If she says, I don't like that, or I don't think that's appropriate, and I say, well, I think it does, then we come back here and present it, or get to you, is that the way this would work out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's going to be just, we're all going to say, yeah, that works great. And that's what I want to happen is.
Make me for faith, but trust it.
Yes.
Yes.
If you really want to get picky, I do black awnings instead of blue, or, you know, it's whatever.
The awning.
No, she's kidding.
Well, she has. I was going to say, the first time, that did start to change from the last time. They were yellow. And I started thinking, yellow awnings, I've got some awnings on the front of my building that are light, and they're trashed after 3 years because of the air pollution. And I wanted them to show more as a navy blue. In fact, if we'll stand here, yes, I don't like those awnings, they're too blue. So
yeah.
I'm going to agree.
Perfect.
Okay.
Their renderings aren't color palettes.
You try the motion?
I will
try to make a motion. Alright. I'm going to make a motion to approve the proposed project, finding that it meets the design of the downtown design guidelines, with the stipulation that when the wood siding is selected, that will be brought before administrative review. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. And any minor alterations to the project in the final exterior building materials will be reviewed administratively, and any other revisions or modifications will be brought back to the full commission for review.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes. Okay.
Certificate of appropriateness.
I will make a motion that this project. I'll make a motion that the certificate of appropriateness should be issued, and that that it meets.
Does that damage your growth plans, right?
Thank you. From the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I didn't hear the amendment.
Well, it's a friendly amendment. Just the
it
certificate of program
is
issued.
Does not damage your growth plan or destroy?
Yep. Trying to get our words right.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item number 6, 1024 Pennsylvania.
This is 1024 Pennsylvania Street. It's a certificate of appropriateness for an addition. This is the primary elevation of the subject property. This is the location of the subject property. You're circled in red. It is in the environs of three different properties listed in the Lawrence Register. I hope you can see there's some lines here. There's no line of sight to the listed property from any of the listed properties. There is, however, there is a line of sight from the Whitcomb House to the listed property, but there's no line of sight actually to the project location. And this slide shows that a little bit different. This is the project location here. This is the listed property, and that would be the line of sight. So there's no direct line of sight to the project location, even though it's directly across the alley from the property. Again, that's the main elevation of the listed property, of the subject property. This shows the area. This is the existing shed that would be removed. And then the new structure would start about here and be in this area. Just to give you a little context, in the neighborhood, this is the property to the south of the subject property. This is showing a line of sight from that property that's listed to the east. So standing at the alley, looking back toward, this is the subject property. And the project location is beyond this on the western side. This is that large structure that you may have seen on the building footprint, the two-story barn. So the listed property, again, is over here where the pointer is, and so there's no line of sight to the project location, even though the properties are back-to-back. This shows the site plan. There's that existing two-story barn in the alley. The existing shed is right here in this line. The new proposed addition would be here. This shows you the existing structure with doesn't have the porch on it that was done to help me see the front of the house. This is the existing shed addition with the shed roof. And this is over on the side view showing you, the red line shows you the extent of that existing shed addition that will be removed. This is showing the new proposed addition, the main elevation. And this is the window that's discussed in your staff report. Is atypical for the environs of the listed properties. And this is that north elevation of the structure showing the roof line. If you can see this little dotted line right here, that was the original extent of the addition after the applicant got the staff's initial comments back. They actually reduced the setback of the new addition two additional feet to try to reduce that impact on the overall impact on the subject property.
So staff is recommending that the project be referred to the Architectural Review Committee to work on the setback of the proposed addition from the west front wall plane and to change the window on the west elevation of the proposed addition. The property owner could not be here this evening. He left you in your packet. There were a couple of letters from him explaining his compelling reasons why the addition is proposed in this area and why they had taken the time and the very thoughtful process of placing the addition where they proposed to place it. And then I'll just go back. So this is under standard 9 for the environs of three properties listed in the Lawrence Register, and I'd be happy to stand for any questions that you may have.
Any questions at this point? Okay, then at this point, thank you. And the applicant is not here.
Yeah,
so
he could not be here.
Okay, so we'll hear public comment on this. On this.
Thank you, Walsh, speaking only for myself. I concur with the staff report, and I'm waiting to hear what you think a good window would be. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, we'll bring it back to the commission.
I agree with staff that I think there's not the applicant being here, it's tough, but I do think there's enough issues with it that doesn't go to the ARC. The roof line, I think the windows, I think the addition placement, those are all things that don't fit the patterns that are around it. And I think those do need to be. Other solutions to be discussed.
So you would actually go a little further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, staff mentions the shape of the roof.
And you're giving to set back as well?
Set back, it's overall placement. So you have a setback, placement.
And to be fair to the applicant, there's a very valid reason why that he wants that window like that, given the use of that room.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, I don't know about your phone.
You have to look at the floor plans for the laundry machine and stuff that's going in like that. The window would not impact
where
they're actually going.
Right?
I think for safety reasons too, that's not my time where I'm probably going to keep that door closed.
What about the, there were examples of those type of windows provided by that, okay, I remember reading those, I can't find them.
Yeah, it's page 183.
There it is. You know, I guess my concern is, yes, there probably are some issues with this, but I'm kind of stuck on a level of review here. And I'm also stuck on the line of sight issue. The house was flipped, maybe. That's really convincing me more.
Even that, a certificate of appropriateness, I don't find that it's appropriate. So
well,
maybe you can find a way to work with the applicant to get there.
I think it's
it's appropriate to consider the request. To be fair to the applicant, it would assume that this would be approved unless it's significantly damaged or distorts the listed file. And I don't think what he's proposed does either of those things. And that's going to be my song and dance on these environment reviews on any level. I just don't see where this impacts the listed file.
Well, we talked about that. I mean, you know, considerations for line of sights and things like that, or at least in my opinion, in this one, is just not convinced me of that. There have been revisions that have been made already for some of the issues.
It's not minimizing the impact. Materials, existing material, is not.
Again, I'm kind of stuck on this.
Where does it say minimizing impact?
Right.
It doesn't say line of sight. It doesn't say minimizing impact. It doesn't say proximity to listed property. Anywhere in the regulations of that.
Well, then if that's the case, then I think that would actually be a little more of an argument for looking at some of those issues. Because if we're not looking at proximity to the listed property or anything like that, it falls in the wind from the internet bubble, then oh, see, and that's why I kind of think that more of a consideration to line of sight, and does it significantly damage the listed property? Because if that's a variable.
I think it does impact the environment.
But does it impact the listed property?
Yes, because it damages the environment in which
it damages.
Significantly.
That's my question. Really, I'm trying to be sincere.
Where I find it's significant to the house it's not attached to. I mean, it does damage the environment. I mean, there's more damage done to the actual house that is being proposed.
The house is listed.
Well, the language, though, doesn't significantly destroy the environment. It doesn't significantly encroach on the damage or destroy the landmark or destroy the district.
Right.
So in here, I mean, does it significantly encroach on the damage or destroy the listed property?
And that's the point that I've brought up several times. The prior state environment review actually talked about damaging the environments, and our local ordinance isn't written the same way.
And you know, I think these type of issues, as we work on an ongoing project and look at the code, are certainly good discussions to have. But I think you're right. As it's written, does it destroy the landmark or the district? And there's a presumption.
You know, maybe it's a discussion for another time, but one of the issues that the owner brought up is that if the project gets sent to ARC, then it doesn't come back to us the next month. It doesn't come back until December, just because of the whole timing situation. I don't know that there's any way to shorten that process, given that the ARC can't vote to approve anything. It always has to come back here. I mean, small projects, it seems like a long time to put something like this on hold. Larger projects, you know, there's time built in for various other activities going on, but for a project like this, you know, as soon as it's approved here, it's going to go in for a permit. Mm-hmm. And maybe foundations in a week.
That's the case. It's still based on the floor plans. I still think that we're going to change.
like to make a motion that we issue a certificate of appropriateness based on the thought that it does not significantly damage or encroach upon the listed property.
Second. Okay, that's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Wait, was there just one opposition?
So two. So 3-2. Okay. As we get to the these issues, we keep bringing up, and I'm sure it's things we should, you know, look at when we talk about when we look at the codes.
Okay, we're going to move to miscellaneous matters, zoning amendment 2331 Free State. Or is that?
That's the one I'm going to abstain from. Can we do the other two first and then go? I can leave.
And actually, is it from, yes. Review of demolition permit on September 20th. None.
I will abstain.
Miscellaneous matters, the schedule was included. I guess the only thing I would real briefly, I know this is probably about a year ago, I brought up maybe changing the start time for our meetings, pushing it up a little bit. I don't know if, you know, I mainly work in Topeka, so it's not a big deal for me to get here, but I know we talked about that. I don't know if that's something that's
pushing up, you mean 6 o'clock or something?
Six o'clock. No, and moving earlier. Because the meetings have been a lot better recently, but there's been nights where we've been here at like 11 as well.
Yeah.
So we can save like an hour. And that hasn't happened lately, but it might be just something to think about. Because we publish this, you know, that's right. Would that cause a real, like, let's just say hypothetically, we moved it to 6 o'clock. Would that cause an issue here in this room or anything like that? Or with staff, with you guys? Would you have an opinion on that? Don't care.
I'll be here.
Either way. Okay. Anybody else?
5:30.
Maybe we could push it in a little bit.
Yeah. That doesn't give the public to get here after
this. Most people. Yeah. I'm not even home at 5:30.
Yeah.
It's gonna be off. 6 is gonna be. I'm gonna be hungry. I feel like angry guys. So you might find me bringing my food in.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
okay.
Got it. I can do it. I don't know. We talked about it. Okay.
Anybody else care?
Yeah.
I support that.
Yeah, sure. Could we? This hasn't been published yet, right?
No, it's up for you to approve this evening. So if you want to make changes, now would be the time.
Well,
we also recommended changes to the ARC meeting, the one that's on the the first Thursday of the month, to be moved to 5:30 instead of 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Well, do we need to do a motion on that, or is that
just... Yes, you need to adopt it.
To adopt it. How about, well, I guess, you know, there seems to be some support for moving it up to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And moving the ARC to 5:30 instead of 6:30.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and make a motion that we adopt the schedule as presented with one revision that the monthly meetings will begin at 6 p.m.
Second.
Okay, all those.
Oh, the KFC.
And it's already. Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Was that seconded?
I seconded.
Okay.
Did you already do demolition permits?
Yes, and there's none.
Oh, there is one.
There is one.
Came out in the news today. Can I comment on it?
Sure.
So, I don't know if it's near anything historic, but it's 1222 Connecticut, and it's pre-1873, the Hyde House. So, I'll pass the... pass that around and get it up to the commission, that'd be great. It's a handsome small house. It's under asbestos. It has the thin wood panel siding. It has a stone foundation on the majority of the house. It's standing wide open, so I did a walkthrough. The original molding is all there, the original wood floors on the ground floor. They've already ripped out one of the wood floors upstairs. There's some water standing in the basement, and there's a shed addition on the back that is literally falling on. But, you know, this is one of those, if this person could be convinced, it's a fixer-upper, but it's a lovely little modest home. It's not near anything, is it?
1222.
Does anybody know David Bennett is the owner? Anybody know David Bennett? Pre-1873, folks. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so it probably just didn't trigger anything for our... Where's the geode?
I think that's it.
Well, if anyone knows anyone who'd like to intervene and buy it away from him and fix it up, you know, that's what we always come back to. But
yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's a key. Right next to the house.
Want to buy it, Ken?
Well, I gotta have a willing seller.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Could I ask one more question? Is there anything I could tell the East Lawrence Neighborhood Association about a possible letter from you all?
Yes, I apologize. As we talked at the last meeting, I dragged my feet. I will hopefully get that. I would like to get a draft here in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to shoot to have that on the agenda for November.
Excellent.
So yeah, we'll try to do that. What I'll probably end up doing is recruiting my vice chair here to also take a look at it, and we will just not to trigger any quorum type things. I'll probably just end up communicating with her directly, and then we'll send that to you when it is on the agenda. When do we need to have? Would that be nice to have a week before?
Yes.
Okay. So. But yes, that's the goal.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. Any other matters?
You had a link on your agenda to Plan 2040. It's the new Lawrence Douglas County Comprehensive Plan. It's an updated plan. The link is on there. This is going before the Planning Commission. You won't have a separate presentation, but you will have an opportunity to do public comment. So just wanted to give you a heads up that you may want to start looking at that plan. There's a chapter on historic resources that you probably will want to have some comment on to the Planning Commission before they have it at their public meeting. Likely, we will have that as a discussion item at your December meeting. So if you have time, it's a nice document. It may take you a little while to read it, so just wanted to give you that link ahead of time so that you can take some spare time and take a look at the plan.
When's the planning meeting? They're
doing study sessions for the next couple months. So.
Okay.
Or they may actually, do you know if they're taking action in December? I'm not sure. I know they have a planning. They're going to discuss it tomorrow at an orientation, and then they'll have discussion at their October meeting.
Okay.
November
meeting. So be ready by November.
Probably by
November. Okay. That's on the website there. Anybody else? Any other miscellaneous matters?
Oh, I do have one. I'm sorry. We have a new staff person. He's hiding in the back. His name's Kyle Kobe.
Hello.
He's going to be doing some historic resources work for us.
We'll be saying goodbye to Catherine soon. Mm-hmm. She's moving on to the BZA, mm-hmm. and Kyle's going to be taking over doing some historic resources for her. So,
gotcha.
We'll be seeing a shift in staff. She's not leaving right away.
Okay.
She gets the
transition for a while.
So. I would say thanks for the help on the State Historical Society meeting here. That was a good. That was a great experience. I thought good topics, well attended. I thought that was really interesting,
mm-hmm.
especially the wood window.
That was a very good, job.
And so, the last Saturday was the East Lawrence Neighborhood Association homes tour, and it turned out to be really well attended. Also, it was shockingly well attended.
Now,
it was really bad weather all week, and then all of a sudden Saturday it kind of cleared up, and like everybody came out. Well attended.
I think it went from 20 tickets on Monday to probably over 200.
Over 250.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was great. Yeah.
And these two people put their homes and offices on the tour. Thank you very much.
This is a variance for a rear yard setback to build a deck. It's a property that's directly behind Grover Barn, which is listed in the Lawrence Register of Historic Places. You have the opportunity to comment on the zoning or Board of Zoning Appeals application, should you so choose. We put those on your agenda if you had comment. This one was fairly simple, I think. Staff doesn't recommend any kind of comment, but you certainly have the ability to comment on a deck that's been on the modern house that's behind the barn.
It just breaks for stairs.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But anybody else feel strongly on that? Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention. All right, anything else? Good cause. You know, with that, I will move.